Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Be seated. Okay, today is the purification of St. Mary, and I found a sermon from 2020 that was given by Mark Haviland, our bishop. It's based on St. Luke 2, verse 22, which was in today's gospel reading. And when the days of her purification according to the laws of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the feast known commonly as the purification of St. Mary the Virgin, and also as the presentation of Christ in the temple. It is also called Candlemas, for on this day in many places there is a blessing of candles for use in the church for the coming year. The gospel for today refers several times, both by reference and by quotation, to the law of Moses. According to Exodus 13, Israel was to sanctify unto God all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both man and of beast. It is mine. The law provided that the firstborn of clean animals were to be sacrificed unto God upon his altar. The firstborn of unclean animals, such as donkeys, and the firstborn of human child, was to be redeemed. That is, a lamb or, for the poor, two pigeons or doves were to be offered in place of the child. The sacrifice was to be performed in Jerusalem on the 40th day after the birth of a son and on the 80th day after the birth of a daughter. This explains the timing for this feast. February 2nd is the 40th day after Christmas, and in some liturgical respects, Christmastide extends up until today. This offering has two main purposes. First, it was to serve the cleansing of purification of the mother from the issue of the blood. In Old Testament thought, contact with blood rendered a person ritually impure. Thus, women were impure monthly, as were those who touched a wound, as was the woman with an issue of blood who touched the hem of Christ's garment. Since childbearing involves blood, it requires an atonement for ritual cleansing. That means the common name for today, the purification of St. Mary the Virgin. Of course, this purification has no moral overtones. The impurity was purely and merely cultic. Our Lady's spotless conception and the virgin birth tell us that the Holy Family is simply fulfilling the requirements of the law in humble obedience to God's will. Secondly, the offering of a lamb or two doves served as a sin offering for the child to present the child to God as an acceptable part of Israel's service and a covenantal community. Israel belongs to God, and the presentation in the temple and the offering that goes with it embrace our Lord and his people's communal relationship with his Father. The Father already truly possesses the Son, and the presentation does not change their relationship with each other, but the presentation joins Christ to his people, and so joins those people to him as he begins his life of self-offering back to the Father. Or put it another way, normally the rites of purification and presentation serve to atone for human sins and to cover the Israelite with the promises of God's covenant. But in our Lord's case, there are no sins to atone for, and there is no need for Christ to be redeemed through the covenant. Rather, by submitting to these ordinances, Christ sanctifies them. He is not blessed by coming to the temple in Jerusalem. Rather, he blesses the temple by coming to it. His sins are not atoned for. Rather, he makes atonement himself and gives power to human rites and sacraments to atone for us. He is not presented to his Father with whom he dwelt for all eternity. Rather, through his presentation, the Father presents grace and salvation to Israel and to the world. He does not need to be purified from sins under the old law. Rather, he submits to and fulfills himself perfectly that old law, and so opens up for us the way to salvation through mercy and grace in him. Our Lord became man not to debase God, but to elevate humanity. Our Lord was baptized not for forgiveness of sins, but rather to empower the waters of baptism to wash away our sins. Our Lord later will submit to crucifixion and a cursed death, not to pay for his sins, but rather for ours, and to deliver us from the curse and to make our deaths occasions of birth into eternal life. Likewise, today our Lord was presented to his Father, not because he before was alienated from or unknown to the Father, but rather in order to present the Father to us. The Lord, as said the prophet Malachi, whom we sought, has suddenly come to his temple with an offering of righteousness. And so we see that this occasion in the gospel is filled with joy. Old Simeon rejoices and is now ready to die in peace. Anna gave thanks likewise, all this done to fulfill the law. The lovers of the law rejoice. They are ancient. They are passing from this world. For the Old Testament had grown old and now is ready to give way to the new. The baby comes, and with him comes the New Testament and its law of love and grace and salvation. The law of Moses is accomplished, its rites fulfilled, its symbols complete. The shadows depart, for the light that lighteneth all men that come into the world has shined forth to lighten the Gentiles and to the glory of Israel. The day has dawned in Jerusalem, night is passing, and the days begin that shall never end. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed, as is most specially due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.